This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The views expressed by guests on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information discussed by guests on this program are those of the guests and is only for informational purposes and should not replace medical advice by your local veterinarian professional.
Hi, this is Susan Marie, the Doggy Diva. On this week's show, preventing pet obesity, a large city comes together to benefit homeless cats, and how to tell what your pet might be thinking. That's what's on our show this week. Stay with us.
Hey, did you hear that? What is that?
It's the bark heard round the world. The Doggy Diva Show. Here's Susan Marie.
Hi, welcome to the Doggy Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. I'm your host, Susan Marie, and as always, I'm joined by my canine co-hosts, the Doggy Divas themselves, Francesca, Coco, and our newest little diva, Miss Olive. Miss Olive is the cute little Italian Greyhound rescue in the picture with the microphone. Thank you for joining us today as we bring the experts in the pet and animal world right to you. So go grab a cup of coffee and your pet's favorite treat, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Monica, we're in October. October's National Pet Wellness Month, National Pet Obesity Month. Is there something you can tell us that we could do, especially if our pets are a little on the weight challenge size?
Absolutely. One thing that's really important to note is pet obesity is not simply just about being a little overweight. It's how the excessive weight hurts the pet medically. One thing, you know, it's very similar in humans as in pets. One thing that our pets really have to be cautious of when they become overweight is diabetes. Very, very common in overweight pets. And definitely something to, you know, to be very precautious of. The other thing is the joints. As our pet aids, their joints age. And as we all know, you know, any of us that have had these senior pets and you see them, you know, trying to get up and down, they're kind of slower. A lot of our pets, you know, unfortunately will get, you know, blown out knees, you know, hip issues, things of that nature. And a lot of that can be secondary to the pressure that's being put on those joints by the excessive weight. So what can we do to change this pattern? As we all know, you know, treats kind of equate to love a lot of the time. And, you know, the pet owner is always, you know, doing it out of, you know, the goodness of their heart. But sometimes it's not the best thing for our pets health-wise. So some alternatives to some of our fattier treats. Most veterinary offices carry a treat called Lean Treats. They're really, really great. Soft, semi-chewy, they're chicken, 2 calories per treat. A lot of the treats that you get over the counter, like your milk bones and your pepperonis and your snossages and all those great yummy things that they love, are all very high in fats and sugars and salts. So, and I tell you, my guys love the lean treats. They go for them before they go through any of the other ones. You can set a pepperoni next to it and they don't even sniff it. Another thing is, now, of course, you always have to be cautious with giving your pet any kind of human food. But when you talk about pet weight loss, green beans always come into the equation. Green beans are a really great filler when it comes to our pets. They have a lot of omegas, so they're good for their coats, but they're also good for weight loss. They're a natural filler. So if you have a pet that just has to eat, doing things like green beans or carrots are great alternatives as a lower calorie treat, or simply something that they can add into their food if necessary, just to bring down the calories. A lot of our clients as well will do the frozen green beans as treats. That way it has that kind of crunch that they don't usually have if they're, you know, simply cooked. Another thing to do is, they have a lot of weight loss diets out there that you can use. But the first step before you go in changing a diet is taking the normal amount that you feed right now and cutting that by 30%. So what you're doing is you're feeding 70% of the normal calories, because the whole thing is calories in and calories out. You can be going by exactly what the bag, you know, that you purchase says to give. However, that is also not always the exact amount, because it's based on the amount of exercise your pet gets. And if you have an older pet that isn't always active, or even a younger pet who isn't, you know, it wasn't always sedentary, but they're still gaining weight on the current amount you're feeding, then obviously you have more calories going in than you have going out. So cutting that food back by 70% for a couple of weeks, you should start to see a little bit improvement in their body condition score and their weight. If that doesn't do it, and the dogs are still acting like they're, you know, they're famished. And I mean, I have my sister's dog is a black lab, and God love her. She is the sweetest, best behaved dog on the floor. But this dog acts like it is starving. I mean, it is amazing to me. The dog can figure out all these airtight containers. She has this one that spins and seals on and goes, and the dog actually figured out how to put his mouth on there and spin it like a bunch of times to break the seal to get into their hedgehog food that they had at home, because that was what was accessible. So some of these dogs are just simple eaters. If you have tried lowering the amount of food to 70% and you're trying to get your dog out there for some walks and some activity and it's still not losing any weight, then it's time to talk to your veterinarian. They could have a thyroid issue, which could be, you know, part of the reason why they're not losing weight. And then you can also talk to them about some of the other products or diets they have available. But anything you can do to kind of get your pet down to a good, healthy weight will add years onto their hips and their joints. It keeps them healthy. You have a far less risk of running into some of those obesity-associated medical ailments. So overall, you're adding years onto your pet's life just by keeping them at a good, healthy weight.
Well, those are very important tips, and it's very, even for ourselves, I mean, I know that by walking the dogs, it helps me. So it's you're kind of doing double duty there, because you're also helping the dogs to work off the weight. And those are great tips for snacks, great tips for how to transition into your food, and great tips for us to be aware for Pet Obesity Awareness Month.
Thank you. Have a wonderful week.
Coming up, one large city benefits from a fundraiser for its homeless cats. Stay tuned.
The young lady from the rescue delivered happy, and I panicked. He was missing hair, stinky, scabby, and I thought, what did I get us into? The cause of his issue was poor nutrition. It was neglect. The other owners didn't care enough about him to give him the nutrition he needed. But I have a vet that I trust, and she recommended Dinovite.
DINOVITE.com.
I ordered the first 90-day supply, and within a couple weeks, His skin started clearing up. He didn't smell. He had more energy. He just had a glow and a bounce about him. We've been using DinoBite for the last year, and Happy the rescue dog is Happy the healthy dog. I tell all my friends who have rescues to give their dog the chance at a new start with DinoBite. It's going to pay off for you and your dog for years to come.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DinoVite.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. We have two very special guests with us today. We're going to be talking about Architects for Animals. It's a wonderful event giving shelter for Fix Nation. So first, I'd like to introduce Karn Meyer. She's the co-founder and executive director of Fix Nation. Hey, Karn, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for having us today.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Can you tell the listeners what Fix Nation is?
Sure. Fix Nation's a nonprofit organization that's committed to cats and to supporting trap, neuter, return. We provide a free full-time spay-neuter clinic for cats with two vets on every day. We fix roughly 100 cats per day.
Wow.
We also provide low-cost, affordable spay-neuter for tame pet cats, and we also loan out traps. We have over 900 traps. We teach people how to trap. We do that for free. We also give guidance on long-term care and management of feral cats. And we are mainly focused on the homeless cats, and that's really what we do right now.
Well, and you're based in Los Angeles, which is one of the largest cities in the nation that is doing this. So I think that it's commendable what you're doing. Now, we also have Leslie Farrell with us, and she's founder of Architect for Animals. So, Leslie, can you tell us a little bit about Architect for Animals?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, basically, the idea came, I live in New York, and I was always raised around animals. I love them so much. But when I was living in New York, I wasn't aware that there was any sort of homeless animal population problem. And then I moved to a neighborhood and suddenly saw a lot of animals on the streets. And I thought, oh, you know, is there any way I could help, or, you know, what can I do? And so I am not an architect, but I worked in the built environment. And one night I was in my apartment and heard the animals outside. It was really bitterly cold. And I thought, oh my gosh, I've got to do something. So I went online and I sort of figured out how could I build a little shelter for them. And I'm not very good at that. I'm in my small apartment. And as I was building this, I thought, well, you know, maybe I could ask some of the architects and designers I know. Maybe they could build something. And maybe I could, you know, sort of do it as an event. And I think my main feeling was that I love animals so much, and I wasn't aware of the issue. And so I thought there's probably other people like me. And maybe by bringing in the design community, we could raise awareness to a whole new community of people who, like me, didn't know the problem exists. Because I do find that, like, you know, people are great. And once they realize that something's happening, so they like to help, you know. So that was really my goal. And then the way I got involved with Karn was she reached out to me and she explained what she was doing, which is wonderful, great. And that L.A. has a real problem. And so she's obviously doing great work out there, and could we do it there? So that's how we came together. And so we've been doing this for a couple of years now together.
That's great.
Yeah, and it's perfect. As Leslie mentioned, you know, we want to have awareness of the situation. Just a little background on how it came to me. Even though my husband and I had cats, I was in the movie industry at the time, working on a movie you probably heard of called The Titanic, and we made most of the ships for the movie, and at the end of the day, I would go and see my crew, and I'd see these ladies outside feeding these cats, And I finally just stopped and asked them, what are they doing? They said, well, we're feeding these cats. I said, well, whose cats are they? And they said, no one's. And I went home to my husband, Mark, and I said, honey, there's homeless cats. And we had cats. We were just totally unaware. And then we learned there's like up to 3 million homeless cats in Los Angeles. So, like Leslie, once you know about it, I mean, you're just like, okay, what are we going to do? And that's this whole, our combination of the two of us is like, all right, we're going to enlighten the rest of the world like we got enlightened.
And I think that's so important. And this show is about that also. It's just bringing to light things that are going on that people may not even be aware of. Now, Karen, one of the things you do is TNR, the trap, neuter, release. There probably are people out there that are not familiar with what you do. Can you just explain what that is?
Well, trap, neuter, release. I mean, trap means you are trapping the kitties. And in our case, we have our own clinic. So they come in and they are fixed. And we don't just spay and neuter them. We also provide them actually anything they need. They all get vaccinated. They get flea treatment. If we have to remove an eye or amputate a tail, we do that. There's no charge to the public for that. And then they are released back to the community that they came from and cared for by their person who has brought them in to us. And these are, you know, cats are part of the community. It's not us or them. They are part of the community as well. And they go back and live out the lives. As much as it breaks our hearts, we want them all to be in homes and all that. Obviously, there's too many right now, so we want to honor the lives of the kitties that are here and just make sure they're not making any more babies. So that's part of the process. You trap them, bring them in, release them, and manage calling management.
I think that's wonderful because you have a real process that you don't just like trap and neuter and then release. You do have an entire process. And when you were talking about the fact, you know, we don't want the population to grow, you don't want more out there. I actually got goosebumps because that's so important that people understand, you know, that these lovely, beautiful creatures, they are released back, but they are now, they're neutered, and it's so that there's not going to be more and more kittens that are...
Yes, and we've fixed almost 150,000 cats now, and if you think about... And we found it's really about half and half, and you think about how many, okay, half of them are female, and here in Southern California, you know, they can have at least 4 litters, and you have an average of 4 kittens, and you know, you can just start figuring out what there would have been, and we all know that there's so many cats and dogs in the shelters now that just don't have homes, and this is the most humane thing to do and honor their lives.
Actually, when I close my show, I always say, please remember to spay and neuter. It's such an important part of the process out there. And so that's why this is so important. And in order to bring more attention to it, and there's really a great event that you both have. So, Leslie, can you tell us a little bit about Giving Shelter, Architects for the Animals Giving Shelter?
I mean, the idea is pretty simple. We ask architects and designers to design and build and donate a shelter to Fix Nation. And then we put them on display, kind of like an art show, so people can come if you're in the LA area. And it's just a nice event. A lot of the shelters, they're very aspirational. You know, they get people thinking like, oh, maybe I can build a little shelter. Maybe not as beautiful as these design firms, you know, but... It definitely gets the conversation going, and they're just such wonderful teams. And, again, it's just about bringing attention really to Karen's great work. And like she said, you know, I learned a lot from her. And, you know, if you can raise awareness and show the public, like, you know, that you can help these animals live happy lives as long as they've got, you know, food, water, and shelter. And Karen's team helps to do that, medical care. You know, some of the things I've learned is that if once the kitties are spayed or neutered, some of the negative behaviors that people might think, like, you know, these colony cats, they'll diminish because, you know, fighting or spraying and those kinds of things. And Karen could speak a little bit more to that. But yeah, it's just having those conversations. Like I said, I didn't know about it. And when I realized it, I thought, how can I help more people be aware? Because I find most people, you know, really do love animals. And once they're aware of a problem, they'll come to help.
Well, just like you said, Leslie, how you initially got into this is because you weren't aware that some of the things that were going on the streets, which I think so many of us, you know, when I first got into this years ago, that's I kind of had my pets in my house and I thought that that's how the world revolved. And when I started to get into rescue and different aspects and learning more, I mean, it's the knowledge. And Karen, maybe you could explain a little about that, about how this changes the animal, you know, the cat.
Well, yeah, they're not prowling. They're not obviously, you know, here in Los Angeles. I remember not long ago, one of the head animal, it was head of animal control years ago. He got up and pointed out that male cats can roam 5 to 10 miles in one day and getting all kinds of kitties pregnant. So, you know, if you can't turn off the desire by both of them, you know, they're not out there mating, they're not fighting, they're not spraying, they're more at peace with each other. And you know, the female kitties are not having to deal with the pregnancies all the time and all that they have to go through. So it affects their behavior big time. And as of now, there is nothing that we know of that, short of the spay and neuter surgery that will take care of all the, obviously, producing, but also the behavior issues. I mean, there has been talk about medical sterilization and somewhere one day you hope that the cat can take a pill and that would sterilize the cat. But that doesn't take care of the behavior. That takes care of, okay, it's fixed. And then you have to worry about whether, you know, like if a coyote ate a cat, are you sterilizing the cat and all that kind of thing. So right now, this is the best thing that we know of to help. And it really does make a difference. They're just more at peace no fighting and all those things. So,
well, I think that that's very important to let the listeners know and to know all that entails more than the residuals from this, you know, the surgery. It actually plays out into the community also. So with the cats. Now, this wonderful fundraiser that you're doing, it's on Thursday, October 19th, and it's from 5:30 to 9:30, and it benefits Fix Nation. And can you tell us about where it's going to be?
Going to be held in Los Angeles, actually Culver City, to be more specific. It is, as you mentioned, Thursday, October 19th. This is going to be our third year. If anyone has a chance, you might jump onto our website at fixnation.org and look at the Architects for Animal Giving Shelter 2017, and you'll see a couple of the shelters that were built last year. I mean, these are just drop-dead gorgeous. If they were bigger, you'd want to live in them. They're just beautiful, but it's a fun event. As Leslie mentioned, it's like an art show. You know, this isn't a sit-down gala or anything. This is where you come in and see these beautiful structures. You get to talk to the architects, and they tell you, you know, what the inspiration is. And it's just really something. It's heartwarming because these are major architects that have taken time from what they're doing to give back. And this is, they're not charging for these. They are giving back and caring about these community cats.
That's so wonderful. And the fact that the both of you came together for this, because it's such a unique fundraiser. Now, Karen, is there still sponsorships available for this fundraiser?
Yes. There's absolutely sponsorships. And that is, again, on our website. If you go to fixnation.org, it's right on the main page. You just click on, you can't miss it. It's highlighted Architects for Animals Giving Shelter 2017, and it does a little narrative about the event, and down at the bottom, it also gives a video for one of the building of the structures of last year, and it gives you the opportunity for a sponsorship package, as well as buying tickets for the event.
And the tickets are $50?
Yeah, they're $50, and it's, again, it's a nice, it's a very comfortable, relaxed environment of just coming. In fact, Leslie and I, you know, we said, okay, people are going to come and go. Well, each year what's happened is people come and they stay for the whole thing.
And as I said, you get a mixed community of, animal community, design community, Karn brought in the bulls last year, and it is just a really wonderful, like, heartwarming event where people are just caring about, animals.
Thank you for bringing that up, Leslie, because I want to get into the bulls in a second, because this is, like, really, you have a star-studded group of cat bulls coming up. Now, Leslie, for you and the side of the architect, what is the takeaway for that component of it? We've talked about the impact on the community with the TNR, with all of what's going on with Fix Nation, which is phenomenal. What is the takeaway for the architects? I mean, this has to be like an inspiring event or inspiring, kind of like marriage between the two organizations.
I think the architects, as I said, they're just generous and they're wanting to make a difference in the world. And then I think that what we're just trying to say is, here are some designs for a shelter, but, any person could build a small shelter if they see an animal in need. And, there's different ways that you could build your own little shelter. And I think that's a takeaway. So I don't know if I'm answering your question.
No, you are. Yeah, because they're actually giving their time to create this. I saw some of the photos of some of the shelters. I mean, they're really, it's really something. So, I thank them for what they're doing also. I mean, it's...
and again, theirs are very fancy or whatever. It's beautiful. It's like they really are like pieces of artwork. But I say to anyone, if you're inspired, go online and you can find lots of different directions and, maybe you can make a difference in an animal if you see them. But there is something you can do, or you can reach out to someone like Karn, find an organization in your community, see how they need help, and what can I do?
Just one thing to follow up on that. I know that every year that we've done this, it is amazing the press that the architects have gotten because of what they are creating out of the kindness of their heart. I mean, we got contacted from New Zealand, Japan. Mm-hmm. I mean, and people are just, it's just beautiful, and people are just inspired by the mm-hmm. work. And it's really something, and as Leslie, again, pointed out, just the crossing over to educating other people about what's going on with the cats, because a lot of these, the architects obviously are all there doing this, or inspired to do this for the kitties, but their friends will be coming to see the beautiful work that they have done, and then that's when they're going to learn from us.
Well, speaking of the homeless cats, that you have over 24 one-of-a-kind cat food bowls that are decorated by celebrities that are going to be available. Can you just tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I thought last year, we have these beautiful shelters and so on. I said, what little thing could we just sort of throw into the mix that might be fun? And I thought, maybe I could get a celebrity to paint a cat bowl. And I didn't tell anybody about it because I thought, well, how about if I asked and nobody would do it? And I'd look stupid. So it just so happens Jay Leno is a client of ours. He loves cats, and he has cats around his garage. And so I went to Jay first, and he said, sure, And I went, oh, all right, I got one. And Jackson Galaxy is a dear friend, and he's also on our board. So I got two. So I started
I go, wow, these people really want to also help us with what we're doing. So it was just a little thing that's just sort of grown, and it's fun. And I found, like, the architects are all excited too. They go, oh, I want that bowl. Or, you know, the public go, I want that bowl, you know, that kind of thing. So it's just a fun thing that we've had, and this will be the second year we've done it, and we have, you know, we have several celebrities, like Elvira and Clint Eastwood and Beau Bridges and all that, and it's their way of being able to give back as well without having to commit to come to an event, because we all know how celebrities are very, very busy, but they take the time.
And that's so good. I mean, it's a wonderful way to pay it forward to do something like this. And now, for the listeners, would they be available to look or purchase these bowls if they wanted to?
Yes. Actually, they are going to be on an auction live. We don't have them on yet because all the bowls are coming in from the celebs. There's quite a process to get them there and film them and photograph them and all that stuff. But as they come in, we are going to launch probably be a couple weeks prior to the event, and of course during the event, and after the event. That'll be live for anybody, no matter where you are. You can bid on the bowls. And the shelters will also become available too. So of course, we're not going to know what those shelters look like until the day of the event. So those will be posted after the fact. They're going to be photographed that day, and then they'll be posted after the event.
Well, this is such an inspirational event. Now, for people who want to purchase tickets or want to learn more about the event, can we have the information for that?
Yes. Again, it's on our website. Pretty straightforward, right there in front. You can purchase directly if they wanted to. There are addresses on there if they wanted to just mail a check, but it's obviously easier to go online. So it's at fixnation.org under the Architects for Animals Giving Shelter for Fix Nation 2017.
And for those of you that just want to learn about Fix Nation, you could go to fixnation.org and see all the wonderful work that they're doing. And Leslie, can you give us, where if the listeners want to go to learn more about Architect for Animals, where they would go?
They could go to architectsforanimals.com.
That's great. And I have to wish you both success for this. This is such a inspiring, and I mean, it's really an important event, and I thank you. I don't think that people should miss it, and I thank you for coming on here to tell everybody about it, and the listeners can actually get involved in it, which is great. And, you know, it was such a pleasure to speak to both of you, and I have to thank you both for all that you're doing for the cats. You're doing very special work. I feel like I learned more just talking to you today, so I hope that the listeners gathered that also. So I wish you the best. I thank you very much for coming on our show, and for those of you, again, the event is on Thursday, October 19th from 5:30 to 9:30. And if you want to learn more, go to fixnation.org, Giving Shelter 2017.
Thank you so much, Susan. It's really been a pleasure.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you both.
Thank you, Susan. Okay.
Susan Marie here to take just a half a minute to let you know how much we appreciate your being with us every week to hear great dog tips you can use with your pet, some great stories about rescues, fostering, and some heartwarming stories about second chances for pets who are now in loving forever homes. Be sure to go to our website, thedoggydiva.com, to see pictures of Miss Olive and other dogs we talk about on the show and get to know us a little better. That's thedoggydiva.com, D-O-G-G-Y. We appreciate your feedback, too. Okay, let's get back to the show. Coming up, have you ever wondered what your pets are thinking? We might be able to help you. Stay tuned.
Hey, It's designerpetsweaters.com. Hand-knitted designer sweaters for your precious pup or cool cat. Beautiful couture patterns for your pets, including custom-knitted formal wear, casual wear, yachting, and even sports-themed. Many designer pet sweaters include feathered tammy hats, top hats, and a lot of sparkle. Each sweater includes leg loops, front paw sleeves, and leash opening. Visit designerpetsweaters.com to order your four-legged fashions today. Your pets will stay warm for the winter and be runway ready. Large or small, we fit them all. designerpetsweaters.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. Have you ever wondered what your pets are thinking? Well, we might be able to help you. Today, our guest is animal communicator Lori Michael, who gives the animals a voice, and she's of Animal Chit Chat. Hey, Lori, how are you?
I'm good, Sue. How are you?
Good, good, good. I see that my two girls here, my two co-hosts, have already been chatting up a storm with you
since you came in the studio. They're all chilling right now,
They're all very chill. That's good. They got everything out of their system. Now, I have to tell you, when I first met you, and I met you years ago, you were psychic to the pets, and you changed to Animal Chit Chat because you found that not only could you talk to dogs and cats and whatever pets are, but you talked to all the animals.
All the animals.
Can you just tell the listeners what an animal communicator actually does?
Well, the mechanics of it, I don't, you know, just for me, I can only talk for myself. So for me, I'm able to communicate, talk, have a conversation, just like you and I are sitting here having a conversation. So I can hear them, or they throw pictures at me, or they will throw their feelings at me. If they have pain, they'll throw that at me. So it just depends on the animal and how they can communicate. But for the most part, it's just a conversation like you and I have.
Well, it's interesting because you and I had a conversation years ago when my Sophia, the original Doggy Diva, passed, and I was totally distraught.
Yeah.
And you had said to me that there's two more coming in. One's a little puppy. And I go, no puppies. One's a little puppy. And then you have another older dog coming in. And I said, oh, I don't think so. You know, and when we still had a house full of animals, but lo and behold, someone who's a friend of mine who is president of an animal rescue comes by, drops by our house and has the crate of animals, little puppies. And she says, could I just leave these here for 1 second? I just, you know, have to just take care of something. And I said, sure. Well, what happened was when the little puppies got out, ran onto John's lap, and needless to say, she still lives with us, and that's Coco. Coco was a little baby, like 6 weeks old at that time.
I remember she was adorable.
She, oh my gosh, she's still our Coco. And then you told me that there would be an older dog coming into my life, which I figured Coco was the end of it for me, and then we got Olive. Mm-hmm. And Olive came to me at 8 years old, and you said there'd be a lot of white on the face of one of them, and Olive's face is all white, the muzzle. So you're chit-chatting? Mm-hmm. At the time when we had our chit-chat, I said, Lori, I go, no, I don't think so. And you said, I think so, Sophie says.
Yeah.
And it's exactly what happened. It happened over a period of time, but it's exactly how it came out. You said the puppy would come first, and then I'd get the senior dog.
Yeah.
So it.
I think our heart dogs, you know, that we lose, you know, they don't want us to spend so much time grieving and mourning, you know, because they have other things to move on to. And they don't go across in pain and they don't hold on to that like we do. You know, so naturally they're going to want us to move on and give us something else to look forward to, you know, and that's what I found in my work.
Now, how did you discover that you had this gift, or when did you discover you had
this gift? It was a little girl. Although it wasn't so plain, you know, like the writing on the wall, but I remember as a little girl, I would spend a lot of time outside laying in the grass, looking at the clouds. You know, I always was looking at the clouds, and I discovered I could hear a bird. And we had a little conversation, and I wanted to know what it was like to fly. You know, I wanted that sensation. And I did not grow up in a household that knew anything about this or had any experience with it, or I don't even know if they believed it. So, you know, it was like, oh, yeah, you have such a great imagination, you know, that kind of a thing. So it wasn't till later in life that I really embraced it.
And, that's great. Yeah, because families don't understand it.
No.
They don't, you know, if unless you're like a believer or you get it. And I mean, I was not that I was a skeptic, but I didn't fully understand it until all of this happened.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, Sophie really did talk to me.
Yeah.
Sophie was telling me, move on, Mom. Yeah. I got work to do up here.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to send you a couple to keep you busy.
Heal and to help heal.
Yes, they helped me heal immensely, especially because I was going through a very rough time because I had gotten in a very serious car accident. That was just as Sophie was passing after that. So it's like she had to leave me in the hands of some good four-legged or three-legged friends. Now, can you tell us like some different animals that you work with and maybe some messages that you get from them?
Well, I've talked to an ant.
Oh.
I've talked to an osprey that used to hang around my house. And Oscar, my little Yorkie, he was only like 2-3 pounds when I first got him. So I had to be sure to tell them that he is not, this is not food. You may not. So, I mean, just various, all kinds of animals, elephants, dolphins.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
I mean, anything and anybody that wants to talk, you know.
Now, for you to do a session, people don't, I know that people, and I've seen you at a number of pet events, you're very well respected in our area, and I know that you also deal with people literally all over the country because you also do it by phone, but, you know, you don't necessarily need the animal in front of you. I know that was my misconception when I first, you know, talked. I said, well, do we need the animal in front of us? I mean, Sophie's passed on. You said, no, I don't need the animal in front of me. And you can also do work over the phone with people whose pets are alive.
Yes. Yes.
So can you explain a little bit of that? Leah, how you connect, you don't necessarily, like I had my two girls are sitting here next to me. I mean, and immediately they knew what you were about
how
and
I
they
connect.
Started talking.
I just go to them. I just go to them or they'll come to me. I really don't know how to explain it other than that.
It's like
because when, you know,
their emotions come over to you or what their feelings come over to you.
Yeah, their feelings. I mean, they'll just come to me. Like I'll see them.
Yeah.
When I have a client, I'm on a way to their house, you know, I begin working right away. And oftentimes my clients will say they noticed a little change or, you know, how they act a little different. They're a little more calm if they're a nervous dog or whatever. But so I just go to them or they just come to me. I honestly don't know how to explain it.
That's like really interesting. And there's a lot of trust because I watched it here because Francesca was having a little bit of a moment today. And she's sound asleep.
She's sleeping.
Yeah, she's sound asleep. So,
and she's a very nervous dog.
Highly agitated, highly, very, very nervous dog. And as opposed to Olive, who she's very calm. Mm-hmm. She's cool. She's collected. But Franny's very, very high maintenance. I won't say high maintenance, high energy.
Yeah, she's had a lot of nervous energy.
Yeah. Well, and that calmed right down.
Yeah.
I mean, you told me what you did, and I was like, wow, I watched it right in front of me.
Yeah, I'm a Reiki master, so I use that, you know, to help calm the animals down.
It was like watching a veil come over, and it was like, I'm going, oh my gosh. It was like that. If someone wants to, because you talk to animals who have passed over the bridge, and you also deal with the animals that are with us today, you know, pets or farm animals, or if someone wants to, if someone has an injured, you know, wild animal or something, or any wild animal they want to talk to, how would they go about getting in touch with you to help them to communicate with this animal?
They would call me or email me or they could text me, either one, and set up, you know, tell me what they're looking for and we'll set up a session. And, you know, if they're out of the state via PayPal, you know, just depends. Mm-hmm. Every situation is different.
Different, yeah, because mm-hmm. you don't necessarily have to be in Florida. Someone from California could be calling you, mm-hmm. and you'd get the same. It's the same type work.
Yeah,
that's mm-hmm. like so. And that's like so. It's like very interesting to me, only because I've actually seen it, and you
it's
know, Olive does
gift,
have a
yeah.
little bit. Has a little bit of a. Arthritis has a little bit of because she's got the three legs, she puts a little bit of pressure on her front legs. And you just explained something to me before we went on the air about Olive, and it's like she's going, I've been dying to tell her this. I can't believe you finally told her. So it's like I didn't know what it was, and you told me what it was. So I feel, and she's sleeping now. She's like, okay, I got that out of the way. So do you find animals when they relate their information to you that they calm down and they like go,
yes.
okay, I got my piece out. I said what I had to say.
Yes, and that's a very important thing is what is bothering them or what needs to come off, you know, off their chest usually comes out first. And anything after that is just, you know, just conversation, like, but the important things to them is what they like to relate first.
Now, I'm going to ask you just as an example. I know we already talked to Olive, and I got her little medical issue her little agitation out of the way. Like, she's here now. What do you feel from her now?
Well, right now she's just sleeping, but, you know, she got off her chest about the other little puppy.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was aggravating her.
Yeah.
So you see, it came yeah. out. It came out already. Mm-hmm. She got that off her chest, and now she's just chilling, sleeping.
Good.
Yeah.
So she's happy. That's
she's
all.
She's very happy.
And Francesca's like, she's like three sheets to the wind down
she
there.
Is.
She's like so happy. She's never that still. How long does a session last?
I never time my sessions. I mean, unless you just want a specific 20-minute reading, or, you know, if I go to events, it's usually, you know, 10-minute, 15-minute. But when I'm doing a full-on session with somebody, I'm going to their home, or it's a phone, I don't time it. So they can last anywhere. I've had them last anywhere from 45 minutes to 2.5 hours.
Wow.
So it just depends. And
depends on what that animal has to say.
Yeah, I find that works better because some, Franny, for instance, it took her a little while
yeah.
to calm down. And, you know, so it just depends on the animal, how long it really lasts.
Now,
or animals, depending on how
yeah.
many you have. Yeah.
I was just going to say, do you do multiple animals?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that when I see you at events, and I do events all over, and you're at a lot of the events I'm at, there's like a line in front of you because people want to talk to you. And so that there are people out there who firmly believe that this helps their
yes,
animal.
Yes, yes.
I mean, I happen to be one of them because I actually, you know, saw before the thing with Sophie was very convincing to me because they actually came to my house, those two dogs. Someone wants to contact you. Do you work through your website? Do you work through an email, or how would they get in touch with you? Because if someone wants to book a session with you, and, you know, since this is nationwide, it could come from California, could come from Washington, could come from New York.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone can work with you on this.
Yeah. I think the best two ways to contact me would be by cell phone. And via email.
Okay. And can you give those two mm-hmm. pieces of information out?
My cell phone is 941-462-6572. And my email is lori@animalchitchat.com. But it's LORI. And then there is a dash between the chit and the chat, which is very important, or it'll bounce.
Around here, and I know that it's also in other areas because you talk to people all over the country, it helps to soothe the animal, number one, but it also helps to reassure the pet owner. There may be some things that you're suspecting or things that you're going, is this really going on? And you, like, mm-hmm. can actually go into it and assure the pet parent, this is going on, this is okay, this is happening, and this is what they're feeling. And it helps us to understand it more.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're giving information that is, you know, not necessarily medical information that's going to cure any
right.
disease, but you're telling us how to make the pet more comfortable. You told me how to make my pet more comfortable.
Right. And yeah. I'm not a veterinarian, and I will not, you know, prescribe or try to diagnose, but what I can do is tell you what I see.
Mm-hmm.
If I see a mass, I'll tell you. You know, I'm going to tell you what I see. If you want to hear it, I'm going to tell you. like I said, though, but that then you need to work with your vet. And I've had several clients that I've told them what I've seen, and they've taken it to the vet, and the vet can look, and from that they can work.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's very helpful for, you know, the peace in the home.
Yes.
To understand each other, because animals are different. I mean, we think of them as our child, but they're animals. And, you know, when it comes right down to it, there are children, but they think differently and they act differently. And, you know, their ladder of things is quite different from ours, you know. So I can give it, for instance, my Scoob, my greyhound,
mm-hmm.
you know, he had a bed in the corner and he didn't like to be felt closed in, and I bent over to just kind of rub on him, and I hadn't had him too awful long, and he growled at me, and it hurt my feelings at first, because, you know, we had a connection instantly.
I remember you.
Yes,
Scoob, yeah.
It was instant, and so we were very bonded, and my feelings got hurt, but then I stepped back and realized he was just telling me, get out of my bubble, I'm in a closed space, and I don't like it, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't he was being mean, but that's how he communicated to me.
And that's interesting, because they all have their own voice. And mm-hmm. I remember you telling me how they all have their own voice and they come across in their own way.
Yeah.
And if, you know, they're competent, not competent. You know, there's all different ways that they come across. So, you know, I've learned a lot from you. I've learned a lot about my pets from you. And also, when I had a greyhound, you had recommended something and she was being treated for something else. And we actually, something else was discovered. And I had taken her to someone else, and he discovered it, and, you know, we treated her. She ended up having cancer. Mm-hmm. That was, you gave me information that I didn't even, I said, no, this is what, she, and you said, just go get, ask the question. And I did, and it happened. So for those of you that have questions out there, if you've ever wondered what your pet's thinking, if you have questions, you know, like Lori said, she's not a vet, but there's different things that she does see or she feels, and it gives you something that maybe you want to talk to your vet about, or that you have questions about, that you have concerns about, that maybe is niggling in the back of your head there. Lori's great, and I can attest for that. And as my two dogs are sleeping here, I can attest that Lori helped to get them calmed down, and she didn't do a thing. She just sat in the chair and looked at them.
So, well, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, no, it's my pleasure, and I really hope that that people give you a call or connect with you, because if anyone has any questions or anyone has any peace of mind, needs peace of mind, I think that you're a great go-to person for that, because you certainly do know how to talk with the animals.
Thank you.
It's
a gift, no doubt.
It is, and you're very lucky that you have it, and we're very lucky that you're in our lives. So, everybody, you want to give Lori, let me just give out your number one more time.
It's 941-462-6572.
And
that's the best way to contact
yeah.
me, but you can also via email.
Well, thank you very much, Lori. It's been a pleasure, and my two girls think it's been a pleasure, too.
We would like to thank our guests this week. And also, as our doggy divas always say, please love your pets because they love you unconditionally. And please remember to adopt, foster, spay, neuter, and microchip. And as always, please have a great Diva Week, everyone.
That's all for this episode of The Doggy Diva Show. To find out more, go to our website, thedoggydiva.com. Also, find us on our Facebook page, The Doggy Diva Show, and tell your fellow dog lovers about it. Don't miss Susan Marie, Miss Olive, and The Doggy Divas right here for the next episode. See you again soon.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.